All right. Well, good morning and glad you are here. Thank you for being here. I know that we have a lot of folks that are out and visiting family as it's that time of year, right? And so so grateful that you chose to worship with us this morning and thank you for being here. If you're a guest, we want to say a special welcome to you. Thank you for joining us. We'd love to connect with you and know how we might be able to best serve you. And so we can do that in one of a couple ways. There's a card in the pew back in front of you, or you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and fill out that information, and it's a way for us to connect with you. And thank you so much for being here. Well, it's a special morning. There's a lot of things going on, and so we're jumping in early, first thing this morning. And so I'm going to invite Pastor Jonathan. He's going to stand down front. We want to take a moment and recognize some of our fall graduates. This is becoming more and more of things that are happening in the life and ministry of our church. And we have several graduates that graduated just yesterday. And so we want to take just a moment and recognize them. And so for those of you, I'm going to ask that when I call your name, you'll come, and Pastor Jonathan has a gift for you on behalf of Second Baptist. And so, first of all, we want to recognize Lindsay Cole. She graduated with her Bachelor of Science in Nursing yesterday. So, yeah. Next, we want to recognize Faith Ebling. She graduated with her Bachelor of Science in Childhood Education yesterday. All right. And then Erica Whitlock graduated with her Bachelor of Science in Biomedical Biology with a minor in Psychology. All right, well, let's show our appreciation for them and proud of them. Thank you guys so much. You're good. You're good. They were excited to come forward and be here. And, you know, Jonathan tried to talk them into going to get their gown and hat and all that sort of stuff. So, anyway, awesome. That's great. What an accomplishment. We're proud of them. We're grateful for that. So, I want to mention to you a few things this morning. First of all, the Young at Heart have a fellowship potluck that takes place tomorrow, and that is at noon. I'm told that I think pork loin will be provided, and you can bring sides and desserts or just an appetite. And so I believe there's a special by that was recorded by David Jeremiah on the Nativity. Plan to watch that tomorrow, so I hope you'll make plans. That's at noon tomorrow here at the church. Also, I want you to take special note in your bulletin to clarify a few things on year-end giving. Again, I spent significant time last week talking about this, sent you an email. I told you you're going to hear a lot about it because I don't want anybody to miss the opportunities in giving if that's what you're heart desires and what have you. I just want you to take note of that because I know for some year-end giving and contribution statements, those sorts of things are important. And so there are a few different dates on when you can give and when it will continue to be on the contribution for 2023. Online e-check giving, the 19th. So Tuesday, by the end of the day, Tuesday, if you want to give online via e-check, that'll be the deadline for that for it still to contribute or show up on your contribution for 2023. The next date will be a week from today, December 24th, if you're giving via online through a card, then that deadline is the end of the day next week. And then finally, if you want to give via cash or check, that will be counted all the way up to noon on December 27th. And so I know that's a lot of dates, that's a lot of information, and I just want you aware of that, so we're trying to make sure we communicate that clearly. Well, there are other things there that you can look at and take notice of. and pay attention to those things. I'm looking forward to this morning. It's an opportunity to worship the Lord Jesus and honor Him. I'm preaching on the gift of Christmas this Sunday as well as next Sunday. And so, it really is. This time of year, there's so much happening and going on, and there's a lot of emotions around this time of year. And so being mindful that this season really is about the Lord Jesus. And so let me open us with a word of prayer, and then we will begin to worship the Lord through song. So let me pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore You. We thank You for Your grace and mercy. Lord, I pray that in all things You would be glorified. Lord Jesus, I pray that everything that's said and done, that God, it would center on You, it would focus on You, it would point us closer to You. Thank You for how You love and care for us. Thank You for the opportunity for us to worship together. Lord Jesus, we love You and we praise You. We thank You for all things. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Would you stand with us as we sing Joy to the World?
Oh,
About that moment when the God of heaven, he left his throne in heaven and he became one of us. The word of God tells us that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we were a world that was in darkness waiting for light. Amen. And as a result, on that day when Jesus Christ was born, the light of the world came in our midst and showed us truly how we should live. Let us sing about this King of Kings and Lord of Lords that became one of us.
In the darkness we were waiting without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. Fill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. For even in your suffering, you saw through the other side. Knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our Savior died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of kings. In the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath. That stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. For the souls of all who've come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of kings. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of kings. Praise forever to the King of kings. All hail the Savior of the world. flash of light breaking through. When all was lost, he crossed eternity. The King of Life was on the move.
Forever dark, cold too.
Where our Lord was laid. Forever changed. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Lord of heaven and earth. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Savior of shout. Let us join with all of heaven singing holy, singing holy, cry out holy, singing holy.
Well, I'm excited this morning that we have Brant and Kara Bowman with us and their children, Elizabeth and Nelson. And so they're going to come, and Brant is going to share with us this morning. If you're not familiar with them, they grew up here. There are folks grew up here in Russellville, even though they've been serving where supposedly they speak proper English. So, but he may let some vocabulary word come out of his mouth that it's not Russellville. So anyway, but. He's going to come and share. You know, some of our folks just went and served with them recently, and so excited to have them as we get to hear an update and all of that from them. So,
Chris. Hello. There we are. Chris said I got 45 minutes, so you guys know that that's not true. No, it is a privilege to be here this morning. We've been here just about a week, so we're finally over jet lag. But like Chris said, my name is Brant, and this is my wife, Kara. And this is, do you want to tell them your name?
Nelson.
And Nelson, how old are you?
Three.
Good job. And this is?
Elizabeth,
and how old are you?
Five.
Five. So for those of you who know, before we moved to the UK, in between the time that we were serving with the International Mission Board in Italy, we were planted here for about 17 months during 2020. And during that time, Nelson was born. So we got to sit by grandmother on the back row there while Nelson was a baby. And last time we came and he sat there in my arms and fell asleep. This year it's a little bit different. He's a little more active. So he may run off in the middle of this, but it's a privilege to get to be here and to just take a couple minutes to share just an update of how God is at work over there in the UK, in Europe, and just in our own lives and personal ministries. So I'm actually going to let Kara start us out in giving an update.
Hi, I just wanted to say for you guys, thank you for letting us come and be a part of your church. We look forward to this every year, coming back for Christmas and getting to be a part of your church. And it was just beautiful to get to worship with you guys. So I also want to say thank you also for sending a team this year. We got to see several of the faces here not long ago. And you guys helped us out in a big way. We made a mistake. The church that was slotted to come and help us with childcare couldn't fill the slots. And we reached out to Pastor Chris and we're like, please help us. And he's like, oh yeah, I've got people who can help. And so you guys filled that and it was perfect. God had that completely worked out. He knew who needed to be with us and who needed to be serving our kids. And I just want to say thank you for putting that yes on the table and coming. And thank you for sending them to us. They were a blessing. They got to serve our TCKs so well. Our TCK stands for Third Culture Kid. It's because our kids are kind of like not in any culture. You know, they're not American, really. They're not really whatever their host culture is. They're kind of like a third one. They're just kind of themselves. But they got to come and serve our TCKs and love on them really, really well. Teach them about Jesus. Pray with them. Read the Bible with them. Have lots and lots of fun. And so it was a beautiful time, and so I just wanted to say thank you, and I look forward to getting to partner with you guys in the future and sending more people and letting you guys come and serve our missionary kids in this way.
Yeah, so one of the cool things was when we left you guys to move over to the UK, I got the privilege of sharing, you know, here's the role that the IMB had given me, and we said we didn't quite know where the Lord was going to direct Kara, but she's extremely humble, and I knew the one was going to go, and the two will go with. But the Lord has given Kara an incredible opportunity, and she's done a really fantastic job of, we've had over about 150 of these TCK kids come to different trainings, and Kara's in charge of all the child care coordination for those kids, and we've had close to 100 volunteers, between 75 and 100 volunteers. So it's a lot of work, but God's using her in really cool ways. How he has gifted her in terms of coordination and child care, he did not create me in that regard. But it is cool to see how, though he created her very different from me, we're both able to use our gifts and passions for the kingdom. So just a quick update on my role, though. For those of you who don't know, here it is. It's a fancy title. I'm the digital engagement strategist. And you sit there and you scratch your head and go, what does that mean? I'm right there with you. I get to actually train missionaries primarily in Europe, but at this point kind of all over the globe, to look at ways to use their devices and redeem it to make Jesus famous, right? So I say all the time in my trainings that this right here is nothing more than a tool, right? We can use the tool of a phone or a computer for a distraction. We can use it to waste time, or we can actually use it to make Jesus famous in places that maybe we can't get into physically, or at time frames when maybe we just can't do it because of life circumstances. So I can celebrate that I don't have this year's fully round up numbers, but from January to November in Europe, we've seen close to 200 people come to Christ through their phones. And not only just that, but they're getting plugged into churches and they're being discipled. And then guess what? They're going back onto their phones and into in-person like relationships at their workplaces, and they're sharing Christ with their people. And so watching that play out is really cool. We're getting to see in the future, in 2024, we're going to actually have our first group of trainees that we'll do in the spring, that we're going to be training them in every part of the world. So every affinity is what we say in IMB language. So all the way, continents is another way. So we will have teams that are in Southeast Asia all the way to the Americas and everything in between that will be learning to use these same tools to just make Jesus famous. So my prayer is that it can be used in a mighty way to reach a whole nother generation, and that maybe 15, 20 years from now, we can look back and say, you know, devices were different, and technology was not always fun, or it frustrates, but it was used for making the Lord famous in some really cool places. So we value your prayers and your partnership. We can never say it enough. We say it every time we come, and we will continue to for as long as we are breathing. Thank you for your prayers. We sometimes say it's like you guys are holding the rope on this end for us. So every prayer is just you keeping that tension for us. Every message that you send, we receive, and it's such an encouragement. For the moments when you get to come over and actually get to do ministry alongside of us is life-giving. And to your giving. I know you're doing Lottie Moon Christmas season right now. I hope you realize that whenever they ask you to give to Lottie Moon, you're really giving to us. And we receive that with so much gratitude. There are missionaries just like us all over the world who we don't have to come back and raise support. We don't have to leave our ministry because of the giving that you give. And so you fund us. And quite frankly, you fund our kids and just their education. And there's so many different ways. So between ministry, our lives, we just want to say thank you. So We're going to be here for a couple more weeks, so we'll probably bump into you. If you ever have any questions, we'd love to answer them. But at the very least, we want to say thank you guys for everything.
Amen. Let me... to Brant's role, let me share with you this. You know, recently we saw Misha was baptized here. She was introduced to the gospel through watching a YouTube testimony video. Came to faith in Christ during COVID. Was not, because she's from Jamaica, she was not able to attend church. Moved to Arkansas, University of Arkansas, first began attending church, had been growing in her relationship with the Lord, and so we got to be a small part of that journey, and so that's a really tiny fragment of just a little picture into some of the work that Brant and Kara are doing there in serving, and so I am grateful and thankful for the call of God on their lives, and I'm excited about what God may continue to do in and through them. So, if you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to preach to you this morning on, I told you earlier, the gift. Specifically this morning, the gift indescribable. Now, leave it to a preacher to focus on preaching on something that the Bible says indescribable, as if I'm going to be able to describe it. But nonetheless, we're going to dig in. We're going to see the language that Paul uses here in reference to the Lord Jesus. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to begin in verse 6. So if you found your place and you're able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give us his purpose, as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of this exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. God, I thank you for songs and testimonies that have exalted you, that has made much about you, Lord Jesus. And I pray that this next few moments together would do the same. Give me every word to say, nothing more and nothing less. Fill me with your spirit. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Well, I want to preach to you again on this indescribable gift. Verse 15, you'll notice again, you may mark or underline this verse, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now I realize 2 Corinthians 9 has a primary audience, a primary focus, and it's a focus of giving. I understand, you know, you say, man, Pastor Chris, of course this time of year you would preach on giving and talk about giving, and it's not my primary focus this morning. Now, we'll draw some conclusions that'll relate to that, but here's what I want us to see this morning is that Paul writes this incredible word to us, some instruction to us about how we ought to give, but then he ends with this obscure verse that seems to come out of left field, to be honest with you, is that he writes in verse 15, he's just given us this great exhortation about giving, how we ought to give, and so on and so forth. And then Paul concludes the section with, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And as I read that this week, I thought, man, why in the world, why would he give us such great illustrations or exhortation and commands and directions about our giving, how we ought to give, the significance of our giving, so on and so forth. And he ends with, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Here's what I believe that Paul is saying to us when he ends with verse 15 the way that he does. Listen carefully. He's saying to us that God is the model for our giving. That he is the one that perfectly represents what we are to give and how we are to give it. And so this morning what I want to do, I thought, what a better time for us. I know that gifts and all that sort of thing are important. And you know, it's a fun part of this time of year. We've had a few Christmas parties the last few days, and all the dirty Santa gifts and the white elephants and the exchanging and then the planning for and all those sorts of things. It's a lot of fun. And so I was studying and looking at this week, just thought, man, he says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And by the way, if you look at the word indescribable, you find it nowhere else in the Greek New Testament or in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It's the only time that this word is used. Some believe that Paul coined it. Paul made it up when he used this word. Now, isn't it fascinating that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that Paul uses a word to say that Jesus is indescribable, and it's a word that had not been used anywhere else. And so we're going to look at this morning together, some truth that we learn from this text that teaches us about this indescribable gift that God gives us in his Son. And so the main idea of the text is this, is that Jesus is God's indescribable gift to mankind. That's the gift that he's referencing. That's the giving that he is referencing when he ends 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Jesus is God's indescribable gift to mankind. So then the question is, have you received God's indescribable gift? Have you received the gift of salvation? Have you recognized that Jesus is Lord and surrendered your heart and life to Him? There's three truths I want us to see from our section this morning that I believe teach us about how God gave, and it teaches how we ought to see giving as well. But again, the main thrust is looking at the significance of who God gave and how He gave. Number one, God gives His gift generously. He gives generously. Look at verse 6. This is what Paul's saying to us. And I realize, again, this is speaking to us about how we are to give, but he ends the text with the example of God giving Himself. And so verse 6, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." What is Paul saying this morning? He is saying that if you give much, God blesses much. And the example is this, is that God gave His Son Jesus. And what we need to understand this morning, church, is that we've sang about it this morning, we talked about it this morning, that you and I, without Christ, without the rescue of Jesus, are lost and hopeless, and there's no hope for us. But because God saw our need and He gave His Son Jesus, it gives us hope. But here's what we got to see, is that God gave everything when He gave His Son Jesus. I felt like that could have been an amen right there. I don't know if y'all aren't primed up this morning. I mean, I felt like Brant did a pretty good job of toning the accent down and not putting you on unstable ground. We okay this morning? Everybody all right? You away? You good? I mean, did y'all have a Christmas party last night too? You ate a lot of turkey and so sleeping through? I mean, we just keep talking about it, right, to make it awkward. But God gave everything when He gave His Son Jesus. Most well-known verse in the entire world, John 3:16. I think sometimes it becomes so familiar, we don't necessarily grasp the significance of it here. But look at this, "For God so loved the world that He gave." I understand Paul's talking to us about our giving, but let's just hit pause and not think about that for a moment and think about the example that God gave to us. "For God so loved the world that He gave." What did He give? His only begotten. His only begotten. I know that's a strange old English word. It kind of just doesn't sit well with us maybe a little bit. Or His one and only, undisputed, unchallenged, His Son. He gave the Lord Jesus. Why? So we could have eternal life. So that we could have a relationship with Him. And so I want you to think about this for a moment. If God gave everything when He gave His Son Jesus, and again, look here at verse 6. "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." So if God gave everything and there's nothing more that He could give, then we would have to describe that as bountiful giving. So if the reality is true that if you give abundantly, you give generously, then you receive generously. And now listen, so here's the beauty of this. This doesn't just always pertain to money. Now it does not leave money out. It doesn't leave finances out. But it's not just about, that truth doesn't just pertain to money. It means in our kindness, our affection, our love, our generosity with our time, the generosity with our talents, all of those sorts of things. And so this is the truth. If God gave everything, gave His Son, He gave bountifully, He gave generously, then the reception of that also has to be true, that then God receives generously. God receives bountifully. So what's the receiving of? From giving His Son, number one, it's glory. That God is glorified because of the giving of His Son. But hey, don't miss this Christmas season. Hey, look right here at me. Part of the receiving that God gets is you. It's you. To think that God who spoke and created, the God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the God that has everything, is in need of nothing. He is not dependent on man as though he needs anything. Acts 17. But he gave in such a way that he might receive sons and daughters, children of God. That he views you as a bountiful blessing. Man, what a loving God. What a gracious God. To think that you or me are viewed as a prized inheritance to the God of creation. I'm not going to speak on your behalf. I'll speak on my behalf. But to view me as that sort of prized inheritance, most would say that's indescribable. It says, he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly, but he who sows bountifully reaps bountifully. Romans 8:32 says, he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. He gave him. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And God gives his son Jesus. God gives the Spirit, the Bible says, without measure. God has given you your time, your talent, and your treasure. The Bible says all good things come from above. Man, isn't it sweet to see this family stand up here and see the kids? And I love Nelson taking off and running back and taking off and running back. And it stresses parents out some, but it's a lot of fun for me. I don't know if them running or seeing the stress or whatever it is, you know, nonetheless. But man, what a joy they bring. That's a blessing from the Lord. And so, God gives his gift generously. Number two, God gives his gift cheerfully. Look at verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Isn't it amazing that as we think about this, that Paul gives us this list of things that ought to be identifying marks of our giving. And then he says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That God, in the giving of his son Jesus, is the example in which we are to follow. And then we think about in verse 7, as he purposes in his heart, meaning he's not double-minded about it. Man, he knows that God has stirred something in his heart, that as God leads me to give, God leads me as to be generous, whether it's time, talent, or treasure, or whatever it is. Now, I need to be faithful to that. I need to do that. And so the reality here is what I believe that we can take away from this is that nobody had to twist God's arm into giving his son. Nobody had to convince him. Nobody had to, man, prod him along. Nobody had to stir him up. But rather, man, he purposed in his heart, he purposed in himself that I see my special creation. They're in need. They have no hope. They have no happiness. And how are they going to, they don't have anybody else. And so I'm going to give, and I give my one and only son. He says, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and that he is the model of this. And it's really difficult sometimes to think about this because it's easy to think about God giving cheerfully a little baby born in a manger. but it becomes more difficult when you think God gives cheerfully a son on a cross. But that's exactly what he does. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 tells us this even about Jesus himself. God in the flesh says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then looking at this, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible says that Jesus went to the cross with joy. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, give cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. He says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And now here you are in this model that give cheerfully. Isaiah 53, 10, 11, and 12, it's the servant song. It's the prophecy of Jesus' coming. And this is what it says about the prophecy when Jesus would come in Isaiah 53. Look, it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul as an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Did you notice verse 15? Yet it pleased the Lord. Verse 11, it says, he shall see the labor of his soul. He's talking about God, so he should see the labor of his servant, talking about Jesus. And look, it satisfied him. It is one thing to think about that God gave generously and he gave everything that he had when he gave his son Jesus. It's one thing to think that God gave cheerfully when he gave a baby born in a manger, but to think about that God gave cheerfully with his sinless son hanging upon the cross. How is that even possible? Because a suffering servant, a crucified Savior, meant redemption for our souls. And so God is not focused. He doesn't give cheerfully in the pain and the suffering of His Son, but in the redemption of knowing what was to come. And so God gives generously. He gives cheerfully. And then number three, God gives his gift graciously. Look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. What's he saying here? Remember, grace is giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. I deserve hell, but God had mercy on me. God's grace is extending salvation, giving me something that I don't deserve. And so he says here that God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And that's exactly what he did in his son Jesus. He saw our need, saw that we had no hope. He saw that we are all sinful and we come short of the glory of God. That there are none righteous, no, not one, and that our righteousness is as filthy rags in the eyes of God, and that you and I left our own. The only thing we deserve is we deserve the full wrath of God's judgment. We deserve hell in all of its fullness. But God is a gracious God. And not on any merit of your own, not in anything that you could earn or conjure up, not in any effort, not in any time or talent, not with any money you could purchase. There is nothing, there is nothing you can do to earn the favor of God, to earn the blessing of God, because then it ceases to be grace. It begins to be an earned salvation. And if you could earn, if you could obtain, if you could work out and get to the point of salvation on your own, if you could just pull your bootstraps up a little bit tighter and tighten your belt a little bit more and grit your teeth and earn salvation, Jesus would have not had to come. But there is nothing, nothing, nothing that we can do to earn the salvation of God. That's why it says, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved. That not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Friends, He is a gracious, gracious, giving God. And I think some of the problem that we have is somewhere we have lost sight that somehow we have earned or we are worthy or we are entitled to. We want to talk about an entitled world. Everybody gets a trophy and everybody gets this and get that out in our culture. Let me tell you, I think we have a bunch of entitled churches that think somehow we are entitled to the hand or favor or blessing or grace of God. And let me remind you, dear friend, we're not entitled to anything except for what the Lord Himself wants to do and what He has promised to do in His Word. And that's not based on us. That's because God is always faithful to His Word. We have no entitlement. It's by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Boy, isn't that fascinating? It is the gift. Salvation is the gift. Because it's through that salvation that all the other gifts come. All the other blessings flow from the throne room of heaven based on the gift of His Son Jesus. Romans 6:23 mentions this gift. For the wages of sin is death. That's what we earn. That's what we deserve. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's the gift. God gives graciously. Paul writes this and he ends with this phrase that seems to be out of nowhere in verse 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. There's a lot more that can and needs to be and should be said about the gift of Christmas. The Lord Jesus Himself. I understand the next several days, I'm sure it's already begun for many, but next several days there's a lot of exciting times of sitting around Christmas trees and exchanging presents and all the fun things that come along with that. Enjoy that. Celebrate that. Whatever your family chooses to do to celebrate those things. But dear friends, part of the reasons of doing that is to remember that God gave the ultimate gift. And as cheesy and bumper sticker-ish as it is, Jesus is the reason for the season. He is the gift of Christmas. And this giving is truly indescribable. Words fail us. I love that Paul had to coin or dig for a word to try to come up with saying indescribable, because what it communicates is our vocabulary lacks the sufficiency and the ability to say all that we need to say about what God has done. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that big, that gracious, that magnificent? That going, man, we could sing every song, we could write every truth, all that we could, and we could do it for ages and ages, and we would never, never begin to exhaust the depth and magnificence of who God is and what He's done. Man, He gave the gift of Christmas when He gave His Son Jesus. So what do we do with this? How do we respond? Number one, if you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, man, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. God has done everything it takes for you to experience salvation. And just like next few days, whatever may happen, somebody may come and hand you a gift, possibly. And the only way for you to receive and that gift to be yours is you have to receive it. And the same is true this morning. The gift is offered to you, but you have to receive it. So first of all, how do we respond if you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus? Won't you give your heart and life to Him today? Secondly, some of you have many of you probably have surrendered your heart and life to Jesus. You go, what do I do with this? Well, I think it speaks also to how we ought to live our life. That God is the model of how we are to live. Yes, I spoke to this. It speaks to a financial peace here. There's no doubt that is here. You can't deny that. But it goes even further and deeper with our time and our talent and our treasure. In all those areas, with your time and your talent and your treasure, do you give generously or are you stingy? The truth is the same in all of those areas. The one who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. The one who sows bountifully, generously, reaps generously. I've said it to you 100 times. I'm not preaching the name it and claim it, the blab it and grab it type stuff, but God does exponentially more with what we give than we could ever imagine. And we're in the season of Lottie Moon and year-end giving, and God does things through our giving that we can never dream or imagine. But then He calls us to give cheerfully our time, our talent, our treasure. Man, are you looking for opportunities to serve the Lord with your church family? Are you looking for opportunities to give unto the Lord and to give with a cheerful heart? Is as you purposed in your heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, but it's an opportunity to give, to serve, and go for the Lord. And then are you giving graciously? Are you serving graciously? Are you using your talents graciously? Understanding that whatever I have in my time or my talent or treasure, it's God who's given it to me. And I remember Ronnie sharing about this one time that he had fallen sick. He had his body was full of blood clots and he was laying in a hospital. And they were really concerned, didn't know if he was going to make it. And he'd been preaching like a wild man for the last several weeks. And God had been saving folks. I mean, just all kinds of people. And he said, I was laying in the hospital. And he said, I was laying there and I was pleading my case to God. I was whining. Saying, God, all these people out here that aren't hitting a lick for you, man, they're not doing anything. They're not going out telling anybody about Jesus. They don't care. They just sit on Sunday morning and they go home. And he said, man, I was just pouring it out to God. Going, God, why me? And one of the things that he said he believed God convicted him about was this. He said he felt like God, just that small, still voice that's convicting, whispered in his heart, said, Ronnie, if you have any time, talent, or treasure, I've given it to you. And if I've given it to you, I can give more and better of to somebody else. Ronnie, I don't need you, but you need me. I think it's a reminder for us that anything that God has blessed us with, it's not because we've somehow impressed God and gone, oh no, I gotta get him an NIL deal and keep him on my team. I gotta do something. But rather, God has been gracious. And then finally, couldn't help but sit here and think as I looked at this family sharing this testimony with us about how God has called them, and thinking about the call of God on my own life. I can assure you, probably 15, 18 years ago, you visit with Kara and Brant, and they never dreamed they would be in the UK trying to redeem a cellular device and minister to third culture kids and all that sort of thing, but God has placed a call on their life. And it just might be that you think about the gift of Christmas and what God has done, and He may be stirring in your heart to call you to full-time ministry, or call you, and we're getting ready, if the Lord tarries, to enter into a new year. Maybe you go and serve on a mission trip with us somewhere. Commit to go, or whatever God calls you to do. I know this, that we're closer today to the Lord returning than we've ever been. And the world seems to be darker than it's ever been. And we need more people pouring out all that we've got to make much of Jesus and to make Him known. To take the gift of Christmas that truly is indescribable to a lost and dying world, that they can know Him. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore You. We thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. And God, I pray this morning that all that we say and do in these next few moments would point us to You, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, if there's anybody here that doesn't know You, God, I pray You would save them, redeem them, give them the grace to be saved. Lord, I pray for those of us that do know You, I pray in these next few moments, God, that we would respond to You. God, maybe You're calling us to more faithful in our finances and our giving. Maybe to give more of our time. Or God, look to use our talents to serve You. God, speak to us. Lord, and I pray if You're calling someone or individuals to the ministry this morning, God, that You'd speak to their heart and give them boldness. If you're here this morning and you need to be saved, you just pray right where you're at, God, save me. I turn from all my sin and place my faith and trust in You. And give everything to You and trust You for salvation. And I pray in just a moment, I'm going to invite, maybe you prayed that prayer, you come. Take my hand and say, Brother Chris, I pray and ask God to save me. Maybe something else going on in your heart and your life, you want to pray right where you're at, or maybe God's calling you to ministry. You just need to wrestle with that. You need to surrender to Him. You've been wrestling. You need to surrender to Him. Whatever God's doing in your life, when I pray, You come. Jesus, You're good, and we love and adore You. And I pray this morning that we'd be sensitive to Your direction. Thank You for Your indescribable gift. Lord Jesus, we love You and praise You. We ask this in Jesus' name. God spoke to your heart this morning. You come.
Constant grace remains a cornerstone.
things that we thought were dead are breathing in life again. You cause your sun to shine on darkest nights. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the
grateful that we've gotten to worship together today. Thank you for and your just faithfulness to give and serve in our church family. Our men are taking their place, help take up the offering today. We will have our services next week. There's no Sunday school, so 10:45 worship only, and then we will have our candlelight Christmas Eve service that night at 5 o'clock, and so I hope you'll make plans to be here for that. Bring your families. It's always a fun, special time. And so I did want to mention, I know we got to hear just a very brief snippet of what's happening in the life of Brant and Karen and their family. They are having more of a detailed sit down and get to know a little bit more. And so if you want to catch them after service, they can give you the details for that. That is this afternoon. And so I know they'd love to have you come and hear all that the Lord is doing. And so catch them. They can give you some more details for that, okay? All right, well, let's stand together. Take note of the different activities, things going on in your bulletin. Let me pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Lord Jesus, you're good, and there's none like you. We thank you for today. I pray, God, in all that we say and do, God, you be glorified. Lord, help us to give in a way that brings honor and glory to the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for your indescribable gift. Help us to be a witness for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.